Lesson 1. Repentance of Dead Works 1. Chapter 1. Some reasons for the importance of the doctrine of repentance. In this day and age, many people, even among Christians, unfortunately, do not live a prosperous life, filled with the blessings of God because they choose not to govern their lives according to the Word of God. They prefer to govern their lives according to the system dictated by this world. Our spiritual life should be constructed the same way as a building is. First of all, foundations need to be dug in a way that they will adequately support the building. Please note that a building without firm foundations may survive a short while, but as soon as adverse conditions come, the building will fall. The same can be said about our spiritual lives. For some people, things may appear to be going well, but when problems arise, they abandon God because they never took the time to develop a strong foundation in God. I would like to draw your attention to the following. What is more important to you? Governing your life according to the insecure worldly system or reading the Bible and practicing God's wise teachings? God came into existence before any of us did. He created all things. Therefore, there is no one more knowledgeable to teach us how to live a successful life. Wouldn't you agree? 1. Without repentance, there is no salvation. Some will say, I haven't got anything to ask forgiveness for. I am a good person. I don't harm anyone. I go to church every Sunday, and I donate money to charities, so I'll surely go to heaven when I die. However, you have to be born again in order to enter the kingdom of God. John chapter 3, verse 3. Then once you have been born again, you have to renew your mind with the Word of God. You cannot accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today, and tomorrow continue living as before. The importance of repentance will remain with us forever. 2. John the Baptist preached. In the beginning of his ministry, John the Baptist preached that no one could enter the kingdom of God without repentance. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. In those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. 3. Jesus preached. Jesus also began his ministry preaching about repentance. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. 4. Jesus told us to preach. Luke chapter 24, verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Mark chapter 6, verse 12, so they went out and preached that people should repent. 5. The disciples preached. Peter, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, then Peter said to them, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Paul, Acts chapter 26, verse 20, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem, and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. 6. It's one of God's commandments. Acts chapter 17, verse 30, truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. 7. It's refreshing to the soul. Acts chapter 3, verse 19, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. 8. It sets us free from eternal condemnation. Luke chapter 13, verse 3. I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Also read verses 4 and 5. Chapter 2. What is true repentance? Biblical repentance requires three things. 1. You must change the way you think. 2. You must change your feelings. 3. You must change your attitudes. A. To repent, you must change the way you think. The word repentance means a change of direction, a change in the way you think. which implies that a person who truly repents of their sins experiences two situations in their life. They become disgusted by what they are doing, thinking, and after repenting, they do not repeat their sinful actions, thoughts. For example, if you are driving in a certain direction and suddenly you realize that you are going in the wrong direction, you turn back, find the correct road, and begin driving in the right direction. Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 to 30. But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, "Son, go, work today in my vineyard." He answered and said, "I will not." But afterward he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, "I will go, sir." But he did not go. Before I was born again, I thought I had a wonderful life and that I was a good person. But when I began reading the Bible, I realized the following. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, New Living Translation. We are all infected and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags. Like autumn leaves, we wither and fall, and our sins sweep us away like the wind. The words all include me as well. I then realized that I was a sinner as well and that I had to change the opinion I had about myself. Today I know that I wasn't really a good person. I started to look at myself as Jesus saw me, a sinner, condemned, deserving only to go to hell. I had to change the way I thought about myself and about my sins. In the past, I thought that if God condemned good people, like myself, to eternal damnation, He was being unfair, but now I realize that in Romans chapter 3, verse 12, they have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Furthermore, I learned that in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I now no longer look at God as a God of retribution, but as a God of justice and love, who did what He could to save man from going to hell. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11, say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn, turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? I've also changed my thoughts concerning God's justice and righteousness. Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 8 to 12, New Living Translation. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Therefore you, O son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you say, if our transgressions and our sins lie upon us, and we pine away in them, how can we then live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn. Turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? The fairness of God's judgment. Therefore you, O son of man, say to the children of your people, the righteousness of the righteous man shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall because of it in the day that he turns from his wickedness. Nor shall the righteous be able to live because of his righteousness in the day that he sins. On the day of Pentecost, Apostle Peter called everyone to repent, that is, he asked them to change the way they thought about Christ. Acts chapter 2, verses 14 to 40. They thought that Jesus was merely a man, But Peter spoke to them about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and his ascension to heaven, which confirmed that Jesus was the Son of God and the Messiah, the Savior, that they had been awaiting. He also told them that as a result, they should change their way of thinking and accept Jesus as their God and Savior. B. You must change your feelings. A frivolous attitude towards sin always produces superficial conversions. Those who do not understand how dark and evil sin is and that it is an offense to a loving God will never understand the need to change their heart. Only when man confronts his sin in the light of God's holiness will he come to terms with the true condition of his heart. This realization that we have sinned and that we are unworthy of salvation will make us hate the sin in our lives. Some people come to me and say, "Pastor, I have never hurt anyone. I have always been honest and good to others. I have always paid all my debts." I then reply, "What do you think God thinks of you?" Let's read about the Pharisee and the tax collector. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14, and chapter 19, verses 1 to 10, show us two different attitudes toward sin. The Pharisee's sin, difficult to perceive, was very well hidden behind his own righteousness. But the tax collector's sin, visible to both himself and God, appeared to be so dark and huge that he beat his chest, showing profound sadness for having sinned against a holy God. Luke chapter 18, verse 13. When you think about the sin in your life with honesty, you will feel godly sorrow. This feeling is biblical. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. The feeling godly sorrow will bring you to change the way you think and turn your back on sin. However, not all feelings of sorrow towards sin are of God. For example, whilst a man was robbing a shop, he was surprised by the proprietor and killed him so that he could escape. This murderer was eventually caught by the police and sentenced to death. Whilst in jail awaiting his death, the murderer stated that he regretted killing the shopkeeper, when actually, what he truly regretted was being caught and condemned to death. This is not true repentance. A young woman was involved in prostitution for many years because of her beauty and sensuality. Whilst on her deathbed, as a result of her lifestyle, she repents and wishes to start her life anew. What she really regrets, however, she reaped what she sowed. If she had been given the opportunity to start again, I believe that she would have returned to prostitution to satisfy her carnal desires because she was an adulteress at heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, but the sorrow of the world produces death. Having godly sorrow means understanding that when we sin, we go against God's commandments and that as a result, we're sinning against Him. For example, David went against God's commandment 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 24, but he repented with all his heart. Read Psalms 51. However, Saul expressed a different attitude towards his sin 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 24. He regarded his sin very lightly and of no consequence. He tried to hide his sin from his people so that he could continue being king as though nothing had happened. Therefore, true repentance will make a person regret ever having sinned in such a way that they will completely turn their back on sin and ask God for his forgiveness. See, you must change your attitude. A change in your attitude involves confessing your sins to God, abandoning sin, and accepting salvation. You have to fulfill all three conditions. The prodigal son said in Luke chapter 15, verses 18 and 20, "I will arise and go." And he arose and came to his father. Repentance is not only feeling bad about the sins you've committed, but it is also being determined not to sin again. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The correct attitude towards sin is 1. Confessing your sin before God. Some tend to hide their mistakes. Others admit their errors but always have excuses, which they present to God. Oh God, I sinned, but you know, it wasn't my fault because. This way, God won't forgive you. It doesn't help to hide our sin from others and from God. People who hide their sin do not grow spiritually. The Bible teaches us that God knows about everything that is happening in your life. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Sometimes we sin against God by offending our brothers and sisters in Christ. In these situations, we need to talk to the person whom we offended and ask for their forgiveness. Jesus taught us in Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar, and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." James chapter 5, verse 16. "Confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another, that you may be healed." The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. 2. Turn your back on sin. Sometimes, you find people that derive pleasure in confessing their sins repeatedly to such an extent that they relive their sin. But, according to the Word of God, we are taught that when we confess our sins to God, we must forget about them. We must forget that which God has forgotten. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 7. "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. "He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." Abandoning sin means never looking back on it. If we could see sin for what it really is, we'd never go back to it again because we'd know that. That was the only way that we could be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. "And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." 3. Turning to God. Abandoning sin has no meaning if you do not turn to God. Read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, "and how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God." Acts chapter 26, verse 18, "in order to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins." Chapter 3, "How do we repent?" A. Repentance is a gift from God. Repentance cannot be achieved by our personal effort. It is a gift from God. You might ask, how can I be held responsible if I do not have that gift? The responsibility we have in this matter is recognizing our inability to repent. As a result, we realize that we need to find refuge in someone greater than ourselves, and that is when we become dependent on the grace of God. We soon realize that only God can change our hearts, bring true repentance, and that there is nothing we can do on our own. It is true that man likes to control everything, but only when confronted with his weaknesses does he seek refuge in God. The Bible teaches us that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the beginning and the end. Life begins in God. Actually, God is life. Therefore, repentance is a gift from God. By allowing His Son Jesus Christ to die for the world on the cross, God the Father touched man with His eternal love. Whoever recognizes this love, goodness, and realizes that without God he is weak and sinful, shall experience true repentance. Acts chapter 11, verse 18. "When they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life." Acts chapter 5, verses 30 and 31. "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to His right hand to be Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. B. God uses man. Whenever God called His people to repent, He gave them the capacity to obey His commandments. It is not just any message that produces repentance, but God uses the preaching of His gospel as an instrument to call us to repentance. This message should be preached under the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verses 37, 38, and 41. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then those who gladly received His word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Romans chapter 2, verse 4, Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19, As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6, 10, and 11, For whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and scourges every son whom He receives. For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but He for our profit, that we may be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. These scriptures show us that at times God may punish His children in the hope that they will repent. God might also use a church member to advise us to return to God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth. Chapter 4. The results of true repentance. A. Repentance causes jubilation in heaven. Luke chapter 15, verses 7 and 10. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. B. Repentance brings a freshness to our lives, forgiveness of sins. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. C. Repentance initiates an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said to them, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When someone deliberately refuses to repent, they hinder the transforming power of the Holy Spirit to flow into their lives. Chapter 5. Repentance from dead works. A. What are dead works? In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Dead works are the things you do that produce death. You have to repent from having done these things and never do them again. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Idolatry, images, statues, amulets, Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, witchcraft, horoscopes, mediums, tarot cards, voodoo, spiritualism, omens, divination, consulting the dead. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 to 12. When you come into the land which the Lord your God is in fidelity towards God, Revelation chapter 21, verse 6. Arguing, criticizing, accusing, judging. If you have done any of these things, then you have sinned. Promiscuity, adultery, theft, fraud. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. Debauchery, unforgiving, hatred, gluttony. You need to make a decision now. If you have been involved in any of these things, you must repent now. Otherwise, you will not live the prosperous life which God has ordained for you. The Bible teaches us that God can have no association with sin. Therefore, those who are involved in any of the above-mentioned acts will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Revelations chapter 21, verses 7 and 8. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Confess your sins to God now, and he is faithful to forgive you. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Chapter 6. Summary of the lesson. The importance of repentance is clearly emphasized in the Bible. Repentance involves three things. 1. Change the way you think. Accept the blame for your own sin by recognizing that it is a direct result of a corrupted soul and of the incapability you have of being any better without God. The Bible calls it knowledge or awareness of your sin. You can compare Romans chapter 3, verse 20 with Romans chapter 1, verse 32. When this knowledge isn't accompanied by godly sorrow or by the decision to abandon the sins you have committed, it will indeed make you become afraid of being punished, but it won't give you a feeling of disgust when you think about them. 2. Change your feelings. This change is evident by your remorse towards the sin you committed against a holy God. Our feeling towards sin should be similar to the remorse King David expressed in Psalm chapter 51, verses 2, 10, and 14. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation. When you feel remorse towards your sin, you will inevitably abandon it and desire to be forgiven and cleansed. If not, then your feelings of remorse are compared to Judas, he who betrayed Jesus, and the outcome of your sin will be spiritual and physical death, as with Judas. Matthew chapter 27, verses 3 to 5. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? You see to it. Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed, and went and hanged himself. 3. Change your attitude. Abandon sin and desire forgiveness and sanctification. Psalm chapter 51, verses 5, 7, and 10. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 5, they said, Repent now every one of his evil way and his evil doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord has given to you and your fathers forever and ever. The type of repentance that is mentioned in this verse is the most important one of all, because your repentance is merely a superficial one if you do not also decide to abandon the sins you have committed.